Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. For many people, fall and winter holiday season is truly the most wonderful time of year. It can certainly be that, and it can be a period of long travel, financial hardship, and a lot of time spent with family. This Saturday Night Live skit from 2018 captures some of that.
My family didn't ruin your day, did they?
No, I love that we hosted this year.
Mary, traffic was awful.
3 hours.
Whoa, you can't wait.
You sure?
Honestly, babe, they made my day.
Hey, Rach, is Cameron sick?
I can't believe your cousin made the drive.
I know. It was so nice to see him.
Yeah.
Why do I have to take it off?
Because it's my dinner table in front of my kids.
No, you're racist against whites. You're racist against whites.
She is.
And how about you, the hostess with the most, is taking care of everybody? How do you do it?
I guess I was just full of Christmas cheer.
I don't know.
And what you hear in that clip, the bit of slamming down, is someone chugging glass after glass of wine. Now, we heard from many people who shared that they need to sedate themselves to make it through a holiday, including Mike, who recommends edibles. And I put out a candy dish for all the adults. And Chris says hard drugs, therapy, hard liquor, crying in the shower, meditation, binge eating stuffing with gravy, cigarettes, cardio, panic, Amazon shopping, and calling my exes. So,
quite a list.
This is tongue in cheek, right? But it brings up a very real question: how best to handle holiday gatherings with family and friends, the good times and maybe the not so great encounters. Here to share her thoughts on that and some practical tips on navigating complex family dynamics, in particular this fall and holiday season, we have Dr. Marva Robinson. Dr. Robinson is a clinical psychologist here in the St. Louis area. Welcome back to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having me again. This is the highlight of my year of the year.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you were reacting to that clip and then some of the things that people have written about.
Yes.
Tell us what you were thinking.
I was thinking some of those coping mechanisms are healthy and some maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Can definitely make some things turn very left very fast.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. On that note, practically, what do you advise that people do, particularly when it comes to wine or alcohol? Is there a way to...
Well, you know, the drinking lots before you even get there might be a red flag.
Okay.
Because alcohol, cannabis can make you more disinhibited. And so the filters go away. Your thoughts of concern and care for others go away. And so judgment may not be the best. So accessing some of those executive functioning skills may go on vacation. So instead of you expecting a horrible holiday time, you may actually be the one bringing it if you're not in all of your faculties. So you might want to be mindful of that as well.
Mm-hmm. We do talk with you on a pretty regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the questions that people have asked you most recently about how to navigate this holiday season?
I think some of the larger topics have been politics, as we've usually discussed on this show before. But something new that's come up, and that's around planning for the future, making large family decisions, things like estate planning and planning for the grandparents in the family that may have some memory impairment and what that looks like. And I think that's been an angle that's come up more because families don't typically gather in large gatherings like they used to outside of Thanksgiving now.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the questions have been, since I'll have everyone at this time, is this a good topic to bring up or will it dampen the mood? So those have been some of the things that have come up for me.
Yeah. We heard from Dennis, who says, my three siblings and I all live at minimum 175 miles apart from each other. Mm. We get along great without the obligations and stresses of stuffy holiday visits. We call and text each other regularly. Mm-hmm. My wife and I do just fine with our own adult kids that may or may not just drop by for a few minutes. Holiday stress is largely self-imposed and ultimately avoidable. So we'd like to invite you to the conversation as well. Is there something causing you stress at the moment? Have you had to set boundaries with certain family members? Or perhaps there's financial strain that's affecting your ability to enjoy the holiday season. Let us know what's on your mind. Send an email to talk@stlpr.org or you can give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. And a note here, you do not have to identify yourself if you don't want to. We realize that this can be some sensitive stuff. Mm-hmm. So what Dennis said about what is, you know, self-imposed, what is ultimately avoidable, what are some of the things that you have heard from people about how they set themselves up way before the holidays so that when this time rolls around and maybe there is some getting together, that there is not so much burden associated with it?
Right. Love the question, because if you think about what this holiday is supposed to mean for you, you want to aim for that. So if it's about the joy of reconnecting, if it's about having great food with those that you love, then you want to keep that at the forefront. So maybe not making yourself solely responsible for cooking 30 dishes so that by the time people arrive, you're exhausted. You know, delegating things, make it more potluck style, making sure that the cousin who doesn't cook so well is volunteering to help with cleaning up afterward.
Okay.
So sharing things so that you're not the one who's solely responsible and that the day ends with you being more exhausted and regretful than you having positive memories.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the discussion topics that you can bring up proactively to get beyond the surface level, but maybe to avoid some of the hot button issues that you already have a sense, you know, could come up?
I love that question as well. So I usually will tell families to think about a project that they may want to discuss at that time for the December holidays. Maybe they want to adopt a family in December. Maybe they want to pick an elementary school that they want to donate books to, but have everyone come with ideas of what they could adopt as a project and they can vote on it at that time. Also shifting the discussion to the youth, I think is really important, especially during times where social media has taken over the world, right? So focusing on individual children, their successes, what's going right, what do they need support with? So kind of shifting it to more outward versus inward can be helpful.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that politics and how people navigate that often comes up. And Reddit user Game Boy Glitches says, I refuse to play nice with the Trumpers in my family. I'll be spending my holidays with people that add to my life in a meaningful way. Is this something, and you know, regardless of what side, quote unquote, people are on with politics, are you finding that there are more and more people whose boundary is, we're just not going to go there at all?
Absolutely. And so my advice there is think about, weigh the pros and the cons, right? Write it out like a balancing scale. And if for you, the pros to doing something different outweigh everything else, right? It's better for me to not go, then I would say go with that, because what you don't want to do is force yourself into a situation and then walk away from it saying, I knew I shouldn't have gone, right? And it's okay to protect your peace, right? You can tell yourself, I have the right to feel good in the environment I'm in. I have a right to feel respected. I have a right to feel listened to. And if you know without a shadow of a doubt that that will not occur, then making alternative plans is okay for you. However, I do caution, if you make assumptions about what will happen, then you will walk into that environment through that mental filter. And so you'll look for those things that are called conformatory bias, right? Mm-hmm. You'll look for things that'll say, see, I knew it, right? So you want to take some deep breaths, think about the things that you are looking forward to, and see if you can find those positive spots and not walk into it with a negative view.
Yeah. I do remember, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, that you had recommended that people write a note to themselves that they keep in a pocket.
Yes.
So maybe a wardrobe choice for either, you know, Thanksgiving or other holidays.
Yes, I call it my fortune cookies. Yeah, like the little positive message inside of a cookie. Put it in your wallet, your purse. Now everyone wears smart watches. You can even pull it up on that. Just something that just recenters and balances you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Keeping the peace, there is obviously some benefit to that. But is there an argument also to be made, or a case to be made, for continuing to break literal bread with people who have different views from you, mm-hmm. in the family context in particular?
There can be. There is a case to be made on both sides. And again, for me, it's about weighing the pros and the cons. So for me, there can be a situation where there is someone in the family who may have been diagnosed with a terminal illness, or someone who's more advanced, or someone whose memory may be slipping. And so for you, it's about having that memory that you can cherish and not taking their comments to heart, mm-hmm. right? And so if you feel that you can do that and the memories are more important to you than an occasional comment that may be offensive, then that person may say, okay, I'm going to go because I want to keep my central focus on creating great memories with this loved one. However, there's also the other case where if for you the experience can feel traumatic in any way and you do not want to create that new memory, mm-hmm. then drawing that boundary for your peace is also okay.
Yeah. On the note of tips, practical tips, we heard from a Reddit user, Wow You Got It, who says, I put time limits on my visit with family. 2.5 hours is enough for lunch and dessert. If you have some tips that have worked for you that may be beneficial to others, there's still time to join our conversation. Give us a call at 314-516-6397. Maybe leave us a voicemail there. That's 314-516-NEWS. Or you can join the conversation here by calling 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. How, Dr. Robinson, do you handle a conversation where someone is asking too many personal questions? And I will sort of refer back to what we heard in that audio clip,
yes.
where the parents-in-law show up and they say, oh, you gained weight.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, personal questions. How do you deal with that?
So there's two different tactics I'd use, and it depends on the person. I always think that I statements are phenomenal. It's a way of being assertive in your conversation. I feel blank when, you know, X words are used or X questions are made. And I would prefer if blank, right? So the I feel is the first part of it, because you're owning how you feel. And no one can debate with you about how you feel in your body, right? I feel put in the hot seat when you ask me questions about my weight, and I prefer if you not ask those questions, right? That can be respected. Another way of addressing it, another tactic I use, is to shift it from me feeling in the hot seat to wondering what's going on with that person. Mm. So then I ask a question of curiosity of, well, what's wrong? You seem to be in not so pleasant of a mood. How has your week been? How was the holiday for you? So now it's more about me investigating, what is that person going through that would make them ask questions that makes other people miserable, right? And so now the fact-finding becomes curiosity about what's going on with them, yeah. and less about me. So I don't personalize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much homework should folks do about what is happening with other family members before they get together?
Well, everyone always has so much going on. So if you have the family member that knows a little bit about everything and everyone, right? You can check in with that person in advance. Or if you don't have the time to do that, if things come up like a snide comment, like the example you gave, that may be the time to check in with them. So how have you been? How are things going for you? And sometimes you may find that there are some things going on with them, and sometimes hurt people, and so their comment isn't about a slight against you, but more about the position that they're in personally.
Mm-hmm. We heard from a few people who have talked about making different decisions about the time they're spending. And David says, we no longer spend any holiday with my family. I find it stressful and unendurable, so I simply travel elsewhere. I look forward to Thanksgiving and Xmas knowing it will be without the stress of a big family dinner and judgment. I have fond memories of these events as a child, but as an adult, it has not endured, so I just changed my approach. And, you know, we've heard from a lot of people mm-hmm. who are opting out of the bigger gatherings for the holidays. And there's this shift, it seems like, that has happened to smaller and smaller circles. Is that something that you have observed with your clients?
I have observed that. I've observed, just like the Reddit comment you made earlier, which I absolutely love, putting a time limit on it, right? So you may still have the same number of people at the end of the day that may have visited it, but it was in shifts, right? So if Uncle So-and-so is coming in the morning for breakfast, I'll catch dinner on the tail end, right? Mm-hmm. So I can still see my favorite aunt or my favorite cousins. Just being mindful of the times that we go, I think people are taking ownership of their right to have peace and what that protection of peace looks like. When you're a child, you do what you're told. But as you evolve and you grow and you learn more, and as things have become more divisive, where people are digging their heels in a bit more, it's a bit more clear about what you are willing and not willing to tolerate.
Mm-hmm. We also heard from B, who's made the decision to stop going to family gatherings. They say, I don't have much joy this time of year, and this year I'm doing it sober. I'm just going to survive it. The different things that people are dealing with, mm-hmm. If there are a number of folks who maybe are coming to your home, is there a way to take a team approach so that those you know who are not on your side exactly, but people that you can rely on to be your support, mm-hmm. is there some benefit to kind of doing a divide and conquer as far as how you're going to approach handling everybody?
If you're the host?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Most people who host are pretty keen into dynamics. So I think doing some laying the groundwork in advance about the things that will and will not be discussed. And we've talked a couple years ago about having ground rules, and that's okay too. You know, we will not do this. We will be more open and welcoming. As the host, you have that right. And I think as a host also tapping into those who may be isolated, a bit more quiet, you find someone who tries to speak, but they're being interrupted, right? That's a good cue that you may want to the side, check in with that person and check the temperature. And as the host, do some navigating to make the environment a bit more palatable for everyone that's present. So that's some work that can be done, mm-hmm. for sure.
And you had said last year to stay away from keeping things like news on the TVs.
Yes.
Yes, this year too.
Yeah, that's a definite yes again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in general when I talk to people, especially those who have difficulty with sleeping, you know, watching the news too close to bedtime or too close to something that's important can just veer the conversation in a way that may not be pleasant. The news isn't always filled with happy, warm, and fuzzies. It's often, you know, homicide or suicide rates or, you know, and so just keep that off in the latest politic headline, which is always a conversation starter. So putting on a good old screensaver that's like a fireplace in the background,
oh, yeah.
or a music or something else may be a better choice.
Yes, a log crackling is better than
yes, I love the log crackling.
And something I would really like to address, because, you know, Thanksgiving is 2 days away.
Yeah.
And then we're looking ahead at the winter holidays. And there are plenty of people locally and all over who are struggling
to
put, you know, food on the table. What about asking guests to bring something to donate to a food bank, so that maybe, as you said, that there are some family members who are not so great in the kitchen? Like, is that a way
they
to
can organize it? Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
That ties into the suggestion of a family project, and that could definitely be one. Everyone bring this item or an unopened toy or toiletries, you know, thinking about even locally, we still have victims from the tornado that have still been misplaced or displaced, still homeless, still trying to put things together. And so right here in our own city, a family can coordinate a project where they can do something that's a give back. So absolutely, I love that idea. And it puts the focus on giving back, which can be meaningful and purposeful versus, again, the inward looking of, you know, me, or I. Mm-hmm. So I love that idea.
Why do you come back here year after year, Dr. Robinson?
Because I love this conversation, and it comes up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always great to hear the comments that come in, to kind of see where people are in terms of their holiday plans.
Yeah. Dr. Marva Robinson is a clinical psychologist. Thank you for joining us today again, and happy fall and winter holidays.
Thank you. Same to you.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.